a murder involving a sexual affair in a small town. Today, other than for the family and friends associated with the tragedy, not much of an attention getter, is it? However, back in 1990, there was a story in court case which certainly caught the country's interest. When Pamela Smart found her husband murdered, she became the grieving widow. That grieving widow was later charged and convicted of that murder. My next guest is here to preview a three-night examination of the Pamela Smart case, which she covered as it happened. That will premiere later tonight on Investigation Discovery. It's called Pamela Smart, an American Murder Mystery. She is the go-to person for court and crime analysis who has contributed just about every network and cable channel, maybe except Nickelodeon. She's a best-selling author, also a syndicated crime and justice columnist, Diane Diamond. How are you today, Diane?
I'm great. Wow, what a talk up there. Thank you so much.
two websites for you listening. Find out more about Pamela Smart, an American Murder Mystery, investigationdiscovery.com, and learn more about Diane Diamond. It's Diane Diamond, DIMOND.com. So, like I said, this was 1990, Diane, so just refresh the listener's memory about what this case was all about.
Well, Pam Smart was 22 years old, fresh out of college. She had always worked hard, valedictorian, really intense, smart young woman. She became the media coordinator up in New Hampshire for a group of public schools, and her office was across the street from a high school. She'd been married less than a year when her husband came home and admitted that he had cheated on her. She said she was devastated, and she suddenly caught the eye, or he caught her eye, of 16-year-old boy at the high school across the street from her office. Long story short, they started a brief sexual affair, and as Pamela Smart tells it to me from her prison cell, she ultimately told him, "I really do love my husband. Our affair is over." And his response was to get a couple of his bad boy teenage friends and lay in wait in their condo. And when her husband came home, he put a bullet in his head. That's the basis of the crime. Now, who concocted that plan? Who urged who to carry it out? That's what's in contention.
And certainly Pamela Smart to this day proclaims her innocence. I think I saw a story. She has a petition up, online petition, trying to get her followers to show her some love or something.
Yeah, she has an enormous amount of support. I was surprised to learn there's a woman in the UK that does tweet storms. There is a PamSmart.com where there is this petition you talk about. There's a blog talk radio show about her. There are quite a group of people who believe, yes, she was guilty of having an affair with a 16-year-old boy, but no, she was not the mastermind of this murder of her husband as she was convicted.
And not to tip the hand, because I want you to watch the three nights of the show, but it was one of the kids had a big mouth, and that sort of set the dominoes tumbling down. Put in the time perspective, because nowadays, teacher having sex with a student, murder for hire. I mean, you can turn on Investigation Discovery, any other of the cable channels, and you see these true life crimes time after time after time. But 1990, this was something different, was it not?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was, you know, way before O.J. Simpson, this was the trial of the century. It was the very first nationally televised trial. Court TV put it on way back in 1991. And, you know, the massive amount of media coverage, international groups came over to Little Derry, New Hampshire. The media held Pam Smart look-alike contests and blared her probable guilt on big, headlines that were in newspaper boxes on the courthouse steps. This is as the jury is being called in to see if they're good enough to sit on her trial. So the pre-taint publicity was unbelievable. The judge did not allow a change of venue. He didn't do much about multiple reports of juror misconduct during the trial. There were motions and witnesses that the defense wanted to call. The judge wouldn't allow it. This judge, as a matter of fact, said he wanted to be played in the movie by Clint Eastwood. He announced that from the bench one day.
Okay.
You know, so it was that trial would never take place today. We're much more sophisticated in the way we conduct serious trials like this.
So Diane Diamond, Pamela Smart, an American Murder Mystery, premieres a three-night special, starts tonight at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, Investigation Discovery, investigationdiscovery.com, and learn more about Diane. Diane Dimond, D-I-M-O-N-D.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned the way that the media was used as an asset on multiple sides. How did Pamela Smart and the way she handled the media compare with what Susan Smith did as far as trying to sell her side of the story to the media?
Oh, boy, that's interesting. Well, Susan Smith had press conferences and came out and begged for the killer of her children. And, you know, she put herself out there in this false way. Pamela Smart, to this day, is not a very demonstrative person. She's not a screamer or yeller. She doesn't show a lot of emotion. And back then, they dubbed her the Ice Princess and the Black Widow because every day she walked into court and she was emotionless. When I look back at that, though, I have to say she looks like a deer in the headlight. She looks like she's 12 years old. She's got bows in her hair and big shoulder pad dresses, and she just looks scared to death. I asked her about that recently, and she said, how was I supposed to act? You know, my husband's dead. They're charging me. I feel horribly guilty because if I hadn't had an affair with this teenager, my husband might still be alive. And so, you know, I think it was two different personas, Susan Smith and Pamela Smart. And there's not a lot of warm and fuzzy that you get off Pamela Smart. But I tell you, after studying this case, I got to say, Chris, I really don't think she got a fair trial.
Well, certainly given the sentences that the gunman got, was that part of a plea bargain to get them to talk? Well, they were talking already. That's what, you know, their talking sort of was a tipping point in a variety of ways. But did they get a break because the prosecution needed them?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. These young men, two men who actually committed the murder, there were others waiting outside in the getaway car. But those two men, the killers, are already out of prison. They're out of prison because they had a plea agreement to testify against Pam. Pam, her out date on her slip that you get when you enter prison says 99/99/9999. She's never getting out. She has no chance to go before a parole board as the killers did. And I don't know. I don't think that happens a lot today. We have a different version of life without parole. I don't think if she came up today charged with what she's charged with, she would ever be sentenced to life without parole.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. If you move the timeline up, let's say even 10 years, would the outcome have been different?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. And people have asked me, is she guilty? I don't know. I'm an investigative reporter. I'm here for both sides of this story. And I don't think her side has ever really been fully explored until now. And you'll hear her on these three episodes on ID beginning Sunday night. You'll get to hear her. I did a long 5-hour interview with her in prison about every aspect of this case. And I think it's time people started to listen, at least listen, to her side of the story.
And as the outsider looking in, it makes me think that, okay, this is a person who has one of two missions. One, she is sincerely telling the truth, or second, she is really trying to sell us on something. And that's the part that the viewer is going to have to decide when they watch starting later on tonight.
That's right. Exactly. You know, you watch her, you decide if, A, she got a fair trial, and, B, did she get a fair shake? Again, the killers are out, and she will never get out unless there are two ways, Chris. If some new evidence comes forward, she might get a new trial. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure about that. But the governor of New Hampshire could say, as 9 other governors in the United States have done, he could say, you know what, I think you've served enough time. Time served, get out. Or he could just at least lift life without parole and let her go before a parole board one day. What would be wrong with that? Let her state her case to the parole board. You know, in prison, she's working on her third master's degree. She is the inmates elected her to be their liaison, their grievance liaison with the administration, with the warden. She teaches classes in HIV and STDs. She, you know, she has this full church life in prison. I don't think society would be in danger if Pam Smart got out tomorrow.
Find out tonight. It starts for three nights. Pamela Smart, American Murder Mystery, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on Investigation Discovery, investigationdiscovery.com. And Diane Diamond's site, Diane Diamond, DIMOND.com. Diane, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Nice talking to you.